I said 4 hours ago, I have no feel for the Panthers and Rangers, so I'm going to go Panthers in overtime to tie up the series.
Goodrow and Reinhardt, the draw, controlled by Florida.
2 minutes for hooking.
Sent in to the corner, played back up high. 1 for 3 on the power play tonight. Down low. Score! Sam Reinhardt! A power play goal! Wins it for Florida!
You know, when we're on our toes, when we're playing that faster pace, limiting their time and space, you know, it gives us maybe a little bit more room out there. And you know, that could feel better than when you got no space out there. So we're just trying to stick to our structure, use our depth. That's what it takes at this time of year.
They're a good team, credit to them. But, yeah, definitely got to, you know, be a bit more possessive in the offensive zone.
Adam Fox, Sam Reinhardt, Sean McDonough at ESPN, and me yesterday on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Welcome back, along with Andy Bennett, Mitch Melnick until 6.
Expert analysis from someone who's been there.
Something about standing up and making the call just because that's the call that's warranted. He's in Edmonton. I feel like that's such a sackless play to, like, even it out. Like, give the penalty. It's blatantly obvious.
It's Aaron Ward.
That's perfect. How are you?
I'm good. I'm watching dude in traffic trying to pull ahead of the line and merge in, and there's a cop in front of me. So, speaking of sackless, he did the old, like, hit the brakes and all of a sudden go from fifth gear down to second and fell in way behind.
Which highway are you on?
US 1. I'm headed home.
Okay.
I'm dropping my kid off at work.
So, in the end, it was a moot point, but they may as well take penalty shot out of the rule book after that last night by Blake Wheeler on Barkov, which set up that winner.
We're not for 3 days in a row pulling out the poem, are we? I mean, so fitting. You knew it wasn't getting it called. Like, the fact that everybody, including the newbies that have just come to the National Hockey League and love hockey, had that momentary pause is, there's no way they're not going to put their hand up and point to center ice. Like, this is the definition of penalty shot. But here's the thing. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I almost was fine with letting the game, the power play, win it. Then it resolved all the whining and complaining. Like, it couldn't have worked out better. Like, Florida figured out what Carolina hasn't been able to, and whoever New York played in the first round, has been so long ago, Washington, that the way they played that penalty kill, they've stifled everybody. Florida figured out if you can connect three passes, you're going to catch all those guys out of position because they're pressuring. And that goal was poetic. It was beautiful. It was Howie Meeker, pass in the net. It was just a beautiful play. And thank God that's what we're talking about, and not whether or not they were successful or unsuccessful on a penalty shot that did or didn't get called.
Well, I can't resist, and somebody in South Florida was thinking the same way.
What's going through your mind on the Wheeler penalty? Are you thinking penalty shot? Are you hoping penalty shot?
I'm just not sure I want to answer that question. Because I want to tell you the truth. I would say I've got a pretty good idea after game that the math on it is dead even. Like, I think our power play percentage is about 33.3, which is exactly about, seen a bunch of breakaways not go in. I don't, maybe the truth is, I don't know. If you asked me, I got to pick one, which one I would pick. If we hadn't scored, penalty shot all day long. That's just the truth. I don't know, because it all went through my head.
It is an interesting, it comes up a couple of times a year when talking about possible rule changes. Shouldn't the offensive team be given a choice? Take a penalty take a two-minute power play?
I 100% in overtime would have taken a power play. Here's why. The moment, knowing that you only have a snap moment to win the game, the level of deflation of having to go back immediately to 5-on-5 is just, it's like crushing to your soul, right? The ebb and flow of momentum. Wherewith, a two-minute penalty, really only you're at a disadvantage if they completely own you on the penalty kill and you don't get anything going. But you can develop some momentum off of a 5-on-4 and a longer, better chance, I think. Even though he's right, it is 33%, 33%. I just feel better about an actual power play itself.
Gotcha. It was still a horrendous non-call. And the thing is, you could tell there was a split second, he's thinking about it, and, man, I thought we'd gotten to the point in the National Hockey League where, because of a demand for increase in offense, that any borderline thought in your head should rule towards pointing to center ice for a penalty shot.
I think he was reflecting on whether or not extending his arm might ruin his career.
By the way, the poem, are you turning this into T-shirts?
Oh, I put it out there. I just threw it out there to see what the design would be, and I didn't. I was waiting to see if anybody got me on the use of the NHL shield on our T-shirt, if trademarking would come after us out of New York. But apparently, we're not big enough on Twitter to be cared about. Yes, I did put on a T-shirt for you, just so you could see what it, envision it. I want you got more of an artistic side. You could tell me whether or not the straight pull them down looks good, or I need to do something different.
No, I think you don't need the NHL logo in there. It kind of ruins it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It says NHL. They don't have copyright on the. Here it is again for those who haven't heard it. Cacophony of moronic, misguided, often nonsensical, shameful, endless, NHL, sackless explanations. You struck a nerve with at least one radio host. Thank you. Whether you actually get that manufactured out as a T-shirt or not. Should the Rangers be...
Let me explain that poem was put out for fact that they had to give an explanation for a call. So
right.
It wasn't... Yeah. That's why it was created. The fact that they thought we were that dumb that we had to, A, hear what they were going to feed us, and B, we were going to believe what they fed us. And so that's why I was inspired to do that. So go on, next topic.
Well, the Rangers, you know, we've talked about Ryan Lindgren. He's clearly, man, the guy, I know you refer to him as a warrior. Everybody's full of admiration for what he's going through. Last night, again, we know Adam Fox, although Fox he picked up assists on both their goals, but he's clearly laboring. Is it possible they're done, or is that a vast overreaction?
Are you talking in terms of like their
Rangers?
Health?
Yeah, if Lindgren and Fox are just gutting it out here, and if it, you know, how many more games can they gut it out to the degree that they're apparently trying to?
I don't think I can count New York out in any capacity. I continue to be shocked that. I mean, you go on to Florida, and I thought, okay, this is going to be two games. You're going to go back to New York and maybe put up a fight, but this is going to be over with. The fact that they pull out the game the way they have, they've battled, found different ways to manufacture offense and keep the game close. And let's identify the key factor here. Shesterkin's all world right now.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, yeah.
That guy, I think, has a belief that he is, in fact, a wall, and you might not be able to convince him otherwise. Like, he's ridiculously good. And I don't know. For me, for New York, I don't believe the health of two defensemen is something that's going to hold them back. I feel like there's going to be an emotional uplift of going back from game five. This is why New York wanted to win the East. They wanted to get the home ice advantage. I think all these things will come into play. And from my experience, I'll just put it this way without being direct. There's magic in them needles. And there's some skilled doctors out there that spent great time getting those three letters PhD, and they can perform that magic, allowing players to perform their magic.
Shesterkin, before the goal went in, was giving me major Patrick Waugh 93 vibes.
I don't. How do you absorb that if you're the opponent? Like, there's a certain, I think when he was coming out to challenge, was it Tkachuk? Who was the player that ran into him? And at some point he started chasing him out during a pause in play.
Well, like, I know Tkachuk bumped him at the end of the period without, you know, that was clearly initiated by Tkachuk. He was pushed into the crease, but he stuck his arm out there to knock Shesterkin intentionally, for sure.
I think there was a couple of moments in that game where Shesterkin came out and went after them, and I would normally fear that the focus of the goalie is awry, and that's going to be a negative. I think this guy's possessed right now, that he feels like he's invincible, even in the capacity that he might drop him with. I mean, if we thought Pastrnak versus Tkachuk was just a bloodbath, Shesterkin Tkachuk would be a bloodbath too, but right now Shesterkin thinks he's a world beater, and he has me believing. Like, I couldn't imagine playing in front of a goalie like that, that just honestly is never out of the play. There's nothing he's done that doesn't foster a level of confidence in his team. That goes back to the question, are they done? No, they're not done because that goalie, even though Bobrovsky is pretty damn good in his own right, Shesterkin right now is playing and showing the body language of a guy that's invincible.
The man who helped Aaron Ward win his last Stanley Cup in 2006.
We got to be better. We can't afford lapses like that. I don't have an explanation. Same thing. Where they come out and they're chasing. Now they're chasing it. They press, and I didn't think the response was good to start the second period. It just kind of went in there, and we had to kill some penalties from there, and so. I definitely think that we need to be better.
Peter Laviolette, second period, two nights in a row, the Panthers just took over the game. He can't explain it. Can you try to?
So I would say I would flip the coin and just tell you that the Panthers weren't particularly good in the first period. I thought they were it was an emotionless first period. And it kind of worried me from an overall game perspective. But for Florida, I felt like, well, for a team that's getting to play at home and knows they got to go into Madison Square, and at that time we didn't know the result of the game, and Madison Square could be the closeout game, for them to show up as flat from an emotion and like sharpness standpoint in the first period, it's shocking. But then it's like, and the question got posed by ESPN, and they didn't really come up with an answer. They asked Tkachuk, and he didn't say it was just a matter of we came around. I don't know what got said in the second period, but they got better on their forecheck, better on their details, better on their focus, more grit. I mean, we got whatever you want to do with the mouth guard. I felt like Tkachuk woke up too a little bit. Like we discussed it yesterday, I expect more out of him from an agitation standpoint. And he was non-existent for parts of the game yesterday from that point. And then all of a sudden, he was getting in people's faces. He was bumping goalies. He got in with any forward that wanted to engage with him. So, I mean, Kreider, whatever, you do have to go off after the best players and see if you can shake them off their game. And I feel like the Florida waking up played more of a part than New York falling off, except for the overtime goal. What Zibanejad is doing, I'm not sure, but that's definitely not paying attention to detail and not being with it at the right time.
That's a tough one. It should have been a feel-good story, right? Blake Wheeler looked like his career was over when he had that leg injury suffered against the Canadiens and Struble at MSG, and he comes back, he's inserted into the lineup. It's so important. And, he was on his way to playing, 10 minutes, and is in the box when it ends. But it's not on him. Clearly, that's on Zibanejad.
Yes. And that's the tough part, right? So, go back to 2006. Lavi knew that he had an ace in his pocket with Eric Cole when we needed him most in Game 6, even though he wasn't completely healthy. He was healthy enough to both make an impact on the game, but more so inspire the locker room, inspire the team on the ice. And that's what I think was the attempt is, yeah, we're now sitting up 2-1. Maybe we can weasel out another win here by playing the emotion card of a guy that's towards the end of his career. He's done a lot. Everybody in this locker room knows that he's showing up at the rink alone. When there's no one at the rink, he's skating himself. He's doing all his rehab. He's doing extra. He's doing anything he can. He's on the road trips at the glass. When we win, he's present. And now he's going to show his presence in this game. And I think that's what he was trying to get. And the thing that sucks for Blake Wheeler is he's going to eat that penalty because he's going to be the last thing people think when he sees the hook, the double hook, the five hooks, the non-call. But really, it's a guy in Zibanejad that I got to tell you, I'm starting to wonder where has he gone in this series?
Well, if they're going to get going, both him and Kreider have to get going, and that's the beauty of a long series, right? Is that guys like Panarin picked up a couple assists. He has to score. I think you'll see all three have a major impact in Game 5 because they have to.
Yeah, but again, the recipe for success is consistency, and the fact that we're asking the questions about where are they, that's the most concerning for that coaching staff. And we will never know until season's over when they start announcing injuries. But this to me doesn't seem like it's a deficiency thing, like your body's not working. This seems like a little bit out of sorts and not quite with it. And it's a bad time for more than one. You can usually stomach a guy struggling, but there's more than one guy who's essential to success that's not measuring up.
I'll give this to whoever wants to handle it. Darnell Nurse has taken a ton of heat here the last 24 hours. His numbers in this series don't show well. Your thoughts on, I guess, how he's played, what the heat he's getting, and what you think you'll get tonight?
I'll take that. He's a big piece of our room. Plus minus whatever. I know it's a funny stat. But he gives us everything he's got, and he always has for a long time. He's a big part of our room. I would expect him to have a great one tonight.
Connor McDavid sitting next to Stuart Skinner actually today when that question was asked. He's a minus 11, which is the worst in the playoffs. Aaron, what do you see? Forget the salary. We all know it's ridiculous. But what do you see specifically about what Darnell Nurse is not doing?
Decision making. So here's the difficulty. I'll address the plus minus stat. Plus minus stat is a funny stat. It is a difficult stat because for players, you feel like it doesn't tell the full story. When it's plus minus only 5-on-5, it tells us truer story. So I'll go with that it's a tough one, that sometimes timing plays, a role in how you eat some of those minuses. And generally, you might be partnered with a third or fourth lines and they're not producing as much. But here's the thing, for a guy, and you can say, let's not talk about his salary. You can't ignore the fact that he's making north of $9 million and tying that much up. And a $9 million defenseman theoretically produces and prevents. The two P's that exist for a defenseman, produces and prevents. He's not producing and he's not preventing. So how do you hide him? And it goes back again, the issue with Nurse is you don't have a fallback, because it's well documented how critical I am of Cody Ceci and Kulak and Desharnais. Like you're thin on the blue line. And you can't be thin on the blue line when you are thin in net. And your area of strength is up front. But to be strong, that group has to be overly aggressive, highly assertive. And you can't play that way if you're spending all your time trying to help cover up and make amends for the difficulties and the problems that your decor is creating. And so for Nurse, you can't but think about the fact that you equate 9.25 to guys around the league that make impacts that are, all world, and you're getting nothing out of them. And I mean, is there a question that he's in the lineup tonight? Like I saw someone contemplating that he might not even be in the lineup tonight.
No, not even you would scratch him ahead of Cody Ceci or Brett Kulak. Come on, that's ridiculous.
But listen, I don't know. I heard that there was a question, so I don't know. Did anybody pose that question to anybody there? Was he certain to be in?
One question: are you considering 11-7 at all tonight?
It is a possibility. It is a possibility. We haven't done that very much this year, and something we've considered.
Yeah. So it looks like Philip Broberg is going to play tonight for the first time in the playoffs.
No, listen. That might not be a scratch. That's worse than being scratched. That's a 7 scratch. 7 scratch means that you're basically the what they call the grocery stick. Like the guy that's between the 6 defensemen and the 11 forwards.
Yeah, so clearly it's to shield them, not just Nurse.
Right. Clearly the deficiency for the Edmonton Oilers that they're now acknowledging, that if they're even going to say they're considering 11-7, is the depth on D isn't there. So now you're going to basically do audition by performance. Give everybody the first 5 minutes. And who's making the least mistakes, who's moving their feet the most, and who's having the most physical impact on a physical Dallas team is probably who's going to get the most minutes. And from there, I mean, this isn't the time of season where you worry about guys' emotions and hurt feelings, because winning seems to mend all the hurt feelings over the summer. You can come back after having a crap playoff and try on your ring and get to wear it for the rest of your life, and you can easily forget. I mean, that's why you're part of a team sport and not an individual.
Aaron, we were talking yesterday about Dallas's ability to, like, they just seem really bulletproof for getting swept away on momentum of their opponent. They never seem to be, like, you know, caught up in that thing where a team gets momentum and just keeps rolling and either takes a series or takes a game from them. How do you put a team like that on their heels if a two-goal lead does not do that?
You don't. That's the difficulty. Is that the grounding force for the Dallas Stars is what's not talked about a ton. It's their decor. They're as solid can be and consistent. And when you get that 2-0 lead, I think what your concern is just stabilize the way the game is going. I don't think you can get them on their heels. Don't allow that third goal, and inevitably something will shake loose for the forwards, but it's the equalizer in this series for all teams is Dallas D. Like, they don't get the credit. They don't get the recognition. They're not talked about they're kind of talking about guys at times, but I mean, even Suter. Suter has made a quietly consistent good, he's done a really good job of performing when it's needed, and that's what allows the Dallas Stars to stem that momentum, is they play physical and they play discipline, but once you get to their decor, they're not giving you those chances to really prolong and extend the lead. So for me, that's just Dallas is a well-coached, veteran-savvy team that has young guys that are listening well to those who've been there before.
And a really good goaltender. Are you home?
Yeah, he's not bad. He's all right. I'd take him.
Are you home?
Oh, yeah, I'm sitting in the driveway.
So how many miles did you roll while talking on your cell phone?
Well, you got to remember, it's not illegal here, right? Like, I was in behind a police officer when Andy called me, and I said, I'm in behind a police officer. I've got my phone in my hand. It's all good. Listen, I'm the king of ADHD. If any distraction in this world, I can manage it. I can do 12 things at once. I was holding a conversation with our friend Amy Walsh on the way down to drop my kid off at work. And my kid was like, how did you remember all those details, manage to obey all the traffic signals and get us there without even... I'm like, don't worry about it. It's a skill. I'll pass it on down.
Sounds super safe.
He's going to discover ADHD pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's got it. Don't worry. He's been blessed with the skills.
Enjoy tonight. And thank you as always. We'll do it again at 5:05 tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, our group responds well. You know, it's a belief in our room that, you know, we can respond in these situations, and I have no doubt we'll do the same tonight.
Pierre Maguire next.